Hey, Hello, beautiful, people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
So
farm.
I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So you could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Hosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. This episode is proudly sponsored by MIDA. MIDA creates business solutions to poverty and has been implementing effective market-driven programs since 1953. They combine innovative financial and technical expertise to build and enhance sustainable agri-food systems that provide decent work for people living in the Global South. To learn more about MIDA, explore MIDA.org. In this episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show, we will be looking at gender issues in agriculture, gender equality and investments in agriculture, and so much more. So for us to learn more about this topic, we have Jennifer Denomi on the show today, an expert when it comes to gender and social inclusion. Hello, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining the show today. How are you doing?
Hi, Sharon. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have experts to share their insights on the show. So I'm really, really happy to have you here today. So let's get the ball rolling. But before we get right into that, so tell me, do you like tea or coffee? I mean, what would you prefer?
I'm a coffee drinker. Definitely Yay. Coffee for me. How about you?
I love coffee. I mean, initially, when I was growing up, I liked taking tea. Like, I could, like, literally not do without tea in a day. And it was just crazy. But eventually, I started feeling, I think this tea thing is not for me. And when I decided to try coffee, it tasted so good. And I wanted to continue just taking it over and over and over again. But I think someone just ruined the fun for me because they're like, Sharon, you know you're very slim. So taking coffee can just really turn you into a skeleton. My goodness, people can be so mean.
Well, I'm with you on the coffee. I don't know about the slim. I don't know if it helps, but certainly I need a cup of coffee in the mornings.
Honestly, I mean, it really tastes so good. I mean, then when I was working, I usually like taking coffee. I mean, I was working with an oil firm, so I usually like taking coffee in the morning, and they just really always complain. But now I'm really low on coffee now, and I'm even more low on tea. I mean, I don't think I like tea anymore. I mean, coffee just tastes really great.
You'll need to go do some shopping.
I know, right? Okay, let's talk about gender equality and inclusion. I mean, how can we promote gender equality at the level of agriculture when we're talking about agriculture? So this is the point where I want you to tell us a bit more about gender equality to ensure that everyone is being carried along. We don't want people having this sort of perception about what this means. So as an expert, the floor is yours right now. Take it, please.
Well, this is one of my favorite topics. I think maybe what I would start with is there's a common misperception that when we talk about gender, what we really mean is women. And often that's what we mean, but it's not only talking about women. Gender equality is talking about equal opportunities for everyone. And because women are often disadvantaged by the systems that they live in and work in, we often have to work specifically with women to address gender equality. But it's something that I've seen again and again, that gender equality or greater gender equality is good for everyone. It's good for women, but it's also good for men. It's good for girls. It's good for boys. So I think the ultimate goal of gender equality is better opportunities for everyone and better access to resources, to opportunities in life, the ability to make choices about your life. And ultimately, that's good for everyone. And when we start talking about agriculture, I've got lots of examples to share. But I think that's a good place for us to start, is that gender equality is about everyone and it's for everyone.
Pretty much straightforward. I mean, I really believe that this is about everyone, but a lot of people have the misconception already, just like you mentioned, that gender equality is always about women. I mean, because they are the ones that are at disadvantage. So, I mean, we're using women as, I mean, at the forefront, because they're the one at disadvantage. So I'm really glad you could put it out like that. But I would really love to hear more about the examples you have to share when it comes to gender equality and agriculture.
Great. I mean, this is both a very simple and very complicated issue. I guess I would say, why is gender equality important for agriculture? The simple answer is, more gender equality improves productivity. This is true in all sectors, but it's absolutely true in agriculture. If women and men have equal opportunities and resources, things like knowledge and skills, but also physical resources, it results in higher productivity and improved efficiency. And this leads to more profit, more savings, and more choices. Families can invest the money that they've saved in buying tools or purchasing or renting more land or equipment. I would say also that gender inequality in agricultural systems creates missed opportunities for business and opportunities to change the situation for millions of people that are living in poverty. There's a statistic that I learned at the beginning of my career, and I think it's still really relevant. And so I'm going to share it now. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, the FAO, estimates that if women globally had the same access to productive resources as men, women could increase the yields on their farms by 20 to 30%. And that this in turn would raise the total agricultural output in developing countries by up to 4% and reduce the number of hungry people in the world by between 12 and 17%. So greater gender equality can impact on global poverty and on global hunger in ways that are just enormous, that are numerically significant, but those are huge numbers of people whose situations in life could be changed by greater equality. So maybe something else that I would share is some of the main sources of inequality. There's a lot of them, but some of the ones that I think are important when we're talking about agriculture, I would say, first of all, although they may be invisible, women are present everywhere in agri-food market systems, but they don't benefit equally from opportunities in the sector. There are a lot of systemic barriers that are actually built into the system itself, and they put certain groups of people at a disadvantage. We're focusing on gender today, but there's also other identity factors. When we talk about social inclusion, there are other identity factors that can result in marginalization too. Things like someone's age, young people or older people sometimes are at a disadvantage simply because of their age. Ethnicity can create barriers for people. Whether somebody is living with a disability, women make up about 43% of the agricultural labor force in developing countries. But depending on the country, it can be as high as 70% in South Asia and up to 80% in some African countries. So these inequalities have massive effects, cumulative effects. Women have less access to, as I've said, productive resources and opportunities. And as a result, they produce less than male farmers. Compared to men, women farmers have smaller farms, sometimes between half and two thirds as large. They usually keep fewer livestock. And when they do have livestock, they tend to be smaller animals, and women earn less from the livestock that they do own. Women tend to use less credit and less other financial services like insurance. They're less likely to be able to purchase inputs, things like fertilizers or improved seeds, mechanical equipment that can make processes faster and more efficient. And in addition to these agriculture-specific factors, there's lots of social factors that impact on women, whether they're in agriculture or any other sector. things like social norms. These are the ideas about what roles and tasks are appropriate for women and girls, for men and boys. And in many places where Mita works and where all of our colleagues work, women are not viewed as farmers in their own right. Even if they have their own plot of land and are working on it, they're often just seen as helpers on their husband's farm. And so they have less decision-making power. Their value, there's less labor, their labor is valued less, and things are not under their control. I'm sure that you've seen these things in the work that you've been doing and the people that you've been talking to.
Yeah, really. I mean, I mentioned this the last time. I mean, the podcast I had with Regina, and we talked about some of the challenges that women face, and one of them being access to land. You know, in some parts of Nigeria, a woman can barely have access to land, mainly because she's a woman. So if a woman have access to land, or let's say the husband have lands, so if the husband should pass away, the woman can't have access to the land. The brothers of the husband can really just come to take the land from the woman, you know, just because she's a woman and she's not supposed to be on the farm. She's supposed to be, what's the word, in the kitchen. It's really so crazy. it's really so funny, because I feel that when women have access to land, I mean, they can use this as a way of getting access to finance, you know, access to funds from banks in form of collateral. But no, they don't really have access to that, and that's the reason why we keep on talking about this and having programs like this, even though some men still think that it's about women, the old gender programs is always about women. But we're trying to see how to create some sort of inclusiveness and bring more productivity when it comes to the agricultural sector. So yeah, I've really seen a lot of this before, and I've heard a lot of women complain about this, even though they are the ones that are always on the farm. Do you know that in some places here in Nigeria, women are the ones usually going to the farm. They're the ones doing all of the farm work, while the men just sit in the house. So I just really get confused when I hear some sort of a misconception that when they say women do not play significant roles in agriculture. So it's just funny. We hear so many things every day. I don't know how it is in other places, but this is just my take on it.
It's that resonates so much. I have heard that exact sentiment many, many times in different places, Nigeria, but also Ghana, at many places where we work. Yeah.
It's, I hope we can change that very soon.
Really. I hope we can too. Really. I agree. Another big problem that a lot of women face, and it's kind of related to what you were saying, is that in addition to having to farm and to potentially run a business, women also tend to be responsible for most or all of the unpaid work in a household, the care work, looking after children, looking after the elderly or sick family members, preparing food, collecting firewood, collecting water. And these are often really time-consuming tasks. And when women are also working for pay, raising crops, for example, or going to the market, they have to balance these things. And the amount of time that is required to do this care work can lead to significant health problems. It can be a barrier to women being able to sleep enough, to look after their own health, to stay in school, to do paid work, to farm their land. So this balancing act is a consistent theme that we hear. And there's actually some really good studies now that are coming out that talk about the amount of this unpaid work that women do versus men. In Ghana, for example, women spend almost four times as much time as men on unpaid care work. So it's quite unbalanced. And we often hear about the double shift that women do. You know, they work on the land or they go to market. And then in addition, they have hours and hours of work in the household that they have to do. So it's a real balancing act that a lot of women have to do.
Indeed. Maybe we could throw more light on the importance of gender equality to the agricultural sector at large, or to even agribusiness, because you see, women like we already mentioned, are kind of like invisible when it comes to this space. And there are, of course, misconceptions, just like I mentioned, such as women do not play significant roles, men do not benefit from gender-based programs. I mean, that's something you can add later, you know, but maybe you could just throw more light on the importance of gender equality and inclusion when it comes to agriculture, agribusiness.
Yeah, agribusiness, I think this is really important because business owners have tremendous power to make change. There's lots of strategies that we've used to promote more gender equality at the business level in the agricultural sector. I'll start with an important one that works regardless of the size or the type of business. You know, we work with some businesses that are really just one person, sole traders, but then we also work with businesses that have, you know, hundreds of employees. But a really good strategy is sharing and building what's called the business case. In other words, the idea that greater gender equality and diversity is good for business. There's a lot of literature on this subject now, and there's a really great study. For example, a study that was done in 2020 by McKinsey looked at more than 1,000 large companies in 15 countries and found that companies that were more gender diverse were more likely to be profitable, and companies that had more ethnic and cultural diversity were even more likely to be profitable. So there's a lot of data around this, whether it's in the staffing and the policies of a company or at the board level. But being diverse, being gender diverse, and being culturally diverse is good for business. And that's true in agribusiness as well. Having gender inclusive workplaces and supply chains can increase staff retention. And we know that staff retention is really important for consistency and profitability within a company. It can also increase revenue in a company. As we have already discussed, women play a large and growing role in the agricultural workforce. So it's important to invest in them to be able to attract and retain the best workers and to reduce turnover. In agribusiness, this might mean things like increasing workplace safety, working with machinery in appropriate and safe ways, working with chemicals in appropriate and safe ways. It can also mean understanding and reducing sexual harassment. There's a lot of sexual harassment in the agribusiness space. Having maternity policies. For supply chains, sometimes companies don't directly employ workers that are in their supply chains. And there it can mean things like investing in your suppliers, in the smallholder producers, the aggregators, and others. Things like providing quality control training, ensuring fair prices. And these things can increase the stability of the supply chain and also the quality and the yield for the agribusiness itself. And so this ultimately leads to lower costs to the company and higher profits in the long run.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, women have the ability to multiply. They have the ability to multitask. And I think it's because of that ability that they can easily just thrive in any business, in any environment that they really decide to get focused on. So I really think that this is very important that many companies try to adopt all of this. I mean, there should be room for more women in the company. I mean, I at some point I was at a training where I was giving a speech on women-led agri startups, and it's just funny how so many people think that women do not really have a role to play. I think I was also sharing something to them where I can't remember her name right now, but she was having some sort of challenge because she was running her grandfather's brand. I mean, our grandfather's and her father's brand. And eventually they didn't have any respect for her because they felt like it was passed down to her. And that's really, that's really crazy. I don't even know what to say now, because I mean, she had put in all her sweat, everything into it. But then again, people still had to say something because they felt like she couldn't thrive on her own. She couldn't do this on her own. But
I mean, I don't see it that way. I don't look at it that way. I mean, women have the ability to do whatever they stop their food to do. So I think that men should really be taking advantage of this. I mean, I don't know why people don't acknowledge this, but it's really crazy to me.
There's a lot
It's
of
really.
bias, isn't there? Yeah, a lot of people, men and women, a lot of people believe that women can't succeed in business, particularly in non-traditional business roles.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so let me just try to make this a little bit personal. So when I started a business, I mean, let's talk agriculture. So I'm running the business with my partner, yeah. And you know, the first word that actually came out of people's mouth was, "You cannot." I mean, they were saying to him, "You cannot run a business with a woman. You shouldn't run a business." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? What do you mean by you can't run a business with a woman?" I mean, I can also bring something to the table. So you're saying you shouldn't run a business with a woman. I mean, that's a wrong mindset. That's a wrong approach. I mean, whatever is bringing to the table, I'm also bringing to the table. So we should be able to put our heads together to do something amazing. I mean, and grow the business. So there are so many people out there that really thinks like that. And these are the things that we should really be changing. And awesome podcasts like this can also help, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, we need more role models of women that are being successful in agriculture and agribusiness. And so keep doing your great work.
Oh, thank you. We're going to keep doing what we can. So just to really try to start wrapping this up, but I'd like to know, I mean, as Meta's Technical Director of Gender Equity and Inclusion, what are some of the ways you believe that agriculture business owners can overcome these challenges? Hopefully just throw more light on this. I know we talked about it a little bit, but I think we should just put more on this.
Absolutely. I want to share an example. As you say, sometimes the personal is the most effective, right? So I was in Ghana recently and I met an agribusiness owner, and she told me it's markets that matter, but more than that, it's equitable markets. And I just loved that. This company does three things that support gender equality. They work with communities to build support for women's access to land. As you were saying, this is just a critical element of success for women. To be successful in agriculture at any kind of scale, access to land is vital. It's really difficult for a farmer to invest in their land, to use fertilizers or inputs, or to clear the land effectively when they don't know how long they're going to be able to farm it. And this is a particular problem for women because they rarely own land. Even in countries where land is owned communally or by traditional leaders, women have even less access than men. Another thing that this company is doing is providing services to women: input sales, credit, mechanization services, access to equipment. A lot of service providers don't prioritize working with women because, as we've already mentioned, they don't necessarily see them as farmers. They're just helpers or support workers. And so being able to access mechanization like tractor services is really important because it reduces the labor time and the repetitive work. And the third thing that this company is doing is what they're calling the last mile solutions. They have physical centers. They also have an app, and they can reach thousands and thousands of farmers. They work almost exclusively with women smallholder farmers, and they can reach the women with an app that's very, very simple, can be used even on the most simple phones, but also physical centers so that women can go to the center and pick up the things that they've purchased, the fertilizer or the seeds, and they can sell their produce. They can drop off the crops that they've grown, and this company aggregates and sells it. So they provide a market if women want to sell to them. And with these three things, they've been able to not only run a successful business as an agribusiness, but they've also been able to really raise the capacity and the productivity of thousands and thousands of women farmers. And so we look for companies like this and support them when they need it. Sometimes we provide financing or technical assistance or link them to women in communities. And other times we just support them with the kind of financing that we can sometimes provide, whether it's investment or grants. to help them do the fantastic work that they're already doing.
That's pretty much amazing. I mean, that's really amazing. I mean, I remember when I started getting into this space, my overall plan was to help smallholder farmers. And out of Let's Talk Agriculture, we have a nonprofit, and that's basically to support smallholder farmers. I mean, giving access to markets, a learning platform where they could come together to learn and network with other farmers as well. And those are things already putting out in place. And hopefully we'll see more of this coming out. I mean, there's passion for agriculture, so we just need more people to really come together to really do something. Agriculture requires teamwork. And I really am looking forward to more people putting out the efforts to grow this sector. So thank you very much for everything that you are doing, and to the META team, actually. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Actually, I can share also just a tool that we've developed. I think that a lot of companies want to improve gender equality within their company or within their supply chain. And so we've developed a tool called the GEM framework. It's available open source on our website. And it's basically a manual and a toolkit that we can use, or a company can use on itself, to assess its gender equality internally and to assess opportunities to increase gender equality. For example, through identifying gaps in their policies, for maybe maternity policies or harassment policies or training, who has access to training and capacity building. Also, it helps companies to expand the clientele that they serve. So it's a toolkit that's great for increasing gender equality, which is always my goal, but also it has the dual purpose of helping companies to identify opportunities to increase their own profitability. And these two things really go hand in hand with this tool. We've had a lot of success with encouraging companies to use it for both of those goals and to really embrace that.
Well, that's incredible. So I'll be putting that on our show notes as well, so people get to see it as well, and more of the work you're doing.
Fantastic.
So yeah, just to let's quickly just wrap up. So just briefly, just tell us what is actually motivating you, or rather, what is your motivation working in this space, working as a gender specialist?
That's such a good question. Gender equality is really important to me personally, because I have benefited myself from the fantastic leaders and people who have come before me. I can see how different my life is from my grandmother's and even my mother's. I have different choices. I have more choices. There's opportunities that I think were not available, or that were much more difficult to access and take advantage of in the past. And I would say it's important to me professionally, because if we want to end poverty, if we want to end hunger, investing in women is critical. Investing in all people is critical. And we have to work with everyone and understand why some people are excluded. There are no countries in the world, none, where women earn equal pay for work of equal value. And there's no countries in the world where men and women do equal amounts of unpaid care work. We talked a little bit about the consequences of women shouldering the burden for most of the unpaid care work in the world. So I guess I would say there's so much important work to do, and I'm really grateful to be part of it. I think this is one of the main levers of positive change in the world.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know it wasn't part of it, but I just needed to know. I mean, I just wanted to know what's the drive, you know. It's very sweet when you have a passion for something. So I just wanted to know what was fueling that particular passion. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I really hope you learned from this. I really hope you enjoy this episode. And please do share this episode. So many people will be benefiting from this. Thank you very much, guys. To learn more about what we are doing, please check us out on Facebook, on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. And you can also explore our website, letstalkagriculture.com. But currently, we are upgrading our website. We're trying to serve you better. So you may not see anything right now. But anyway, just still check us out. Thank you very much, guys. I love you so much. And thank you for always sticking by us. Do have a great time. and happy holidays. Bye-bye.